Techtopia. Techtopia er en podcast om mennesker og deres teknologi. Den er udgivet af Ingeniørforeningen IDA i samarbejde med Teknologiens Mediehus, HI-messen, Index Award, Innovation Center Danmark og IDA Forsikring. Mit navn er Henrik Føns, og det er mig, der bestemmer i Techtopia. For nylig fejrede den internationale musikbranche sig selv ved Grammy Awards, hvor de uddeler priser og præmier til hinanden for dem, der har solgt flest plader eller lavet det mest interessante musik, eller på anden måde gjort sig bemærket. Det var især den pur unge Billie Eilish, der løb med en masse præmier. Hun er under 20 år, 17-18 år, tror jeg. Og det særlige ved hende, det er, at hun har lavet sin plade hjemme i dagligstuen hos sin mor sammen med sin storebror. Og de har ikke siddet med en akustisk guitar og klemret, ligesom man gjorde i gamle dage. De har simpelthen lavet den på en computer. Det er det, man kalder for en bedroom production. De har så siddet i dagligstuen og ikke i soveværelse, men anyway, det betyder det samme. Og det er egentlig ikke så usædvanligt, fordi det meste musik i dag bliver lavet på computer. Det bliver enten indspillet på en computer, eller det bliver komponeret og spillet på en computer. Det kan både være dyrt og besværligt, det kan også være utrolig nemt, hvis man har talentet. Sidste år mødte jeg en mand, som gerne ville lave om på det her. Han ville gerne gøre det endnu nemmere at lave musik på computeren og så at sige demokratisere processen, så alle kan komme til at lave musik og samtidig som ekstra gevinst komme til at lære at kode, altså programmere en computer. Han hedder Sam Aaron, og han underviser på Cambridge University.
I would like people to try and start to understand that programming is something that is for everybody in the same way that reading and writing is, and that it's something that people can use to express themselves in new ways. And as more of the world becomes programmable, the people who can program are able to effectively control and manipulate their own environments in more powerful, exciting ways, and the people who can't are going to be left behind in many ways as well. So trying to find ways to get people to realize that, to accept it, and to see it as an opportunity to learn how to express themselves in new ways, and that code is something that's not just for programmers, but for everybody.
Som I kunne høre her, så er Sam Aaron altså en mand med en mission. Han vil på den ene side lære folk at lave musik på computeren, og på den anden side, så vil han lære dem at kode. Men hvordan lyder det egentlig, det man laver? Altså, jeg kan lige spille et lille eksempel, fordi jeg har faktisk downloadet det her stykke software, som han bruger. Han kalder det for Sonic Pi, og det er reelt en synthesizer, som man kan programmere. Så man sidder ikke og spiller på tangenter eller trykker på knapper. Man skriver simpelthen kommandoer ind i et felt. Man kan høre lidt her. Og det her er jo naturligvis ikke noget, der går hen og bliver et internationalt pophit. Det er virkelig bare en sample af en guitar, der er loopet med lidt forskellige effekter på. Og det man gør, man skriver det ind i sådan et felt, hvor man kan skrive, hvad der skal ske. Han for eksempel skal gentage sig selv, eller hvad det er for en sample, hvad for en lyd, man skal spille. Men det går ud på, er, at i stedet for at spille på et instrument, ja, så kan man simpelthen kode sig frem til at skrive en sang eller improvisere henover et stykke musik. Spørgsmålet er selvfølgelig, hvor meget skal man vide om at kode, og hvor meget skal man vide om musik, før man faktisk kan begynde at bruge Sonic Pi?
Kind of the goal is to be like a guitar. So a very simple instrument that you can pick up like a guitar. You can learn how to play all the strings of a guitar very simply. But also, if you see a master guitar player, then that gives you inspiration of why you should pick up the guitar if you want to be like Jimi Hendrix or Taylor Swift. And so Sonic Pi is the guitar for programming. So instead of plucking strings, you write very simple lines of code. And instead of the strings then making the sound, the code then instructs a very powerful and beautiful sounding synthesizer to make the sounds. And so as you change the code, it changes the sounds. And so you can both compose your own pieces of music, which will sound electronic, more like the kind of music that children would listen to on the radio, than, say, a violin. But it also allows you to perform with it. So you can have the code running, and you can pick your hands up and it's still making the music, But then when you want to change the music, you just change the code and the music will change as it's playing.
You can actually make real music by doing this?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, I'm playing at the Royal Albert Hall next year, so that's a proper music venue in London. I got into the Rolling Stone magazine a couple of years ago performing at music festivals. There's a lady in Canada, she's made an opera with it. There's a guy in Finland who's made heavy metal music with it. There's a lady in India, she's making very native Indian tabla style, playing with the sitar in the background music. So you can play a full range of different kinds of musics with the same system.
What do you need to know about coding and music before you use this system?
That's a very good question. Absolutely nothing is the answer. It was designed for schools to teach programming as much as it was designed for professional musicians to do amazing, powerful musical performances with. And so just like a guitar, you can pick it up and with no knowledge, you can work through the tutorial. It's very, very simple and get started. Of course, if you want to make amazing sounding music, you have to practice and you have to learn how to do those things. But there's a very simple process and all you need to put in is time and practice.
And you do this with 10-year-old children?
Absolutely, so and younger as well. So as soon as you can read and write and you can type into a computer, it's the age you can start working with the system to do very simple, basic melodies. And then as you learn more about programming, you can apply those programming techniques and concepts, which are real-world techniques and concepts, which are useful and valid in the workplace. You can apply them to make your compositions and your performances more varied and interesting.
Aften før jeg talte med Sam Aaron, der så jeg ham optræde ude i Bella Center, og han står med sin computer og koder live, og så kan man så se på skærmen bagved ham, hvad det egentlig er, han står og skriver ind. Så det er sådan en slags PowerPoint, kunne man sige, en slags PowerPoint-koncert, hvor man kan se, hvad han egentlig gør, og hvad for nogle koder han skriver ind i maskinen for at få den til at spille nogle bestemte rytmer eller melodilinjer. Og derfor så bliver det også tydeligt, at man skal ikke bare kunne kode, man skal også have en vis musikalsk fornemmelse.
Absolutely, of course you do. And the same way, if you want to play guitar on stage, you need to know something about music and something about how the strings vibrate and how to hold the instrument. There's no way around having to understand the world around you in which to operate within that world, whatever you're doing, whether it's making music or baking a cake. But what I argue is that those things inside my system, Sonic Pi, they're all very easy to learn and very straightforward. In the same way, to bake a cake, you need to understand about how to mix and how to pour and how to weigh out the ingredients. You need to understand those things. There's equivalent simple things to learn about programming, but once you've learned those simple things, in the same way, you can take a recipe for a chocolate cake and make a strawberry cake. You can take the same ideas, the same algorithms, because mixing a cake is just like mixing in an algorithm. Very similar ideas. You can take those algorithms and make a very different music out of them.
Der er en masse leg i det her, og det gør det jo oplagt at bruge systemet til at lære for eksempel børn at kode, at programmere en computer.
But my main purpose is to lower the barrier to entry for a creative experience with code. And so allow society to understand that code is not just something for companies and for businesses, in the same way that the written language is not just useful for legal documents. We use the written language to write poems and plays and shopping lists and texting our friends. Code also has the same kind of benefits for expression. We're just yet, as society, we're yet to learn how to do those things. And so my goal is to make society recognize this as possible and also make it simple to get started.
Det gode ved Sonic Pi, det er, at man faktisk ikke behøver at have et masse dyrt udstyr. Man kan klare sig med en ganske lille computer, som man slutter til sit fjernsyn.
You need either a PC or a Mac, if you have one of those at home, so just a basic, simple laptop. It can be a very old one, does not have to be new. But also, if you don't have a computer at home, and not everybody does, it runs just as well on a Raspberry Pi computer, which is just €35. So you can buy one of those, plug it into your television, and you can do all the things I've just described, make crazy sounds. I've performed in nightclubs with a Raspberry Pi computer, so it's just powerful enough. You do need speakers. So yes, a headphone, or if you're plugging into your television, the TV will have some speakers so to be able to hear the sounds. But you don't need any hardware at all. But if you have hardware, if you have synthesizers, if you have MIDI keyboards or MIDI controllers, you can totally plug those in and use those to manipulate and control the sounds as well. So it gives you the power to expand. If you've mastered the basics and you think, well, I want to not just write code, but I want to be able to move my hands and have my hand movement change the sound, you can program that too. You just need a MIDI controller or a MIDI synthesizer to be able to manipulate those things. So it, you don't need those things, but it supports them if you want to expand into them.
Og Sonic Pi, ja, det er faktisk blevet spredt til skoler over hele verden. Der er allerede over 1 million mennesker, der bruger Sam Arons system.
And schools all around the world. Schools in Finland, schools in America, all over the place. So and there's over 1 million people have used this system, teachers from all over the world using it to teach basic computer science and music as well. And universities using it to teach music production. And professional musicians using it to make albums and EPs. So it's used for in a variety of different ways, in addition to just schools.
And it's open source?
Yes, so it means it's the recipe for making the program is entirely free. People can see it and open it up and look inside the machine. And it's also entirely free to download and play with.
And how do you make money from it?
That's a very good question, and something I'm trying to figure out, because I really believe in it being free. It lowers the barrier to entry, and if one of those barriers is cost, then that's a real problem. Finland sent a bus to Africa to teach 2,000 African women how to code with Sonic Pi, and I think that was only possible because it was a free piece of software. And so, rather than making money from selling the software, I'm trying my best to make money from both selling my time, so if I give workshops or performances or talks, I can charge for those. But I also have a system website called Patreon, which I'm using, which is a website people use to donate micropayments. So $1 or $2 a month from lots of people will add together to make enough money for me to continue. So that's starting to grow. It's a level where the Patreon website, through donations from people all over the world, is giving me enough for one day a week of my salary. And so maybe if that continues to grow, the people listening are interested in supporting what I'm doing, then and they're happy to give me the same amount of money as a cup of coffee a year, then if enough people do that, then I should be able to, because I only need my own salary, I don't have a team of people, I should be able to be in a position to be sustainable that way.
Når Sam Aaron spiller live, så er det en slags elektronisk dansemusik, han spiller. Men det er ikke programmeret på forhånd, det er noget, han står og laver i situationen. Så den måde, han spiller på, minder ikke så meget om popmusik eller rockmusik, hvor man bare går på scenen og spiller den plade, man nu engang har lavet. Nej, det minder meget mere om jazzmusik, hvor man improviserer og finder på tingene, som koncerten skrider frem.
I guess the closest analogy would be to look at how jazz musicians work and operate. So they will use scales and riffs they've practiced and concepts that they've worked in the rehearsals, and then in their performance they will then knit those together in new interesting ways. And so when I perform, I'm taking ideas and riffs and scales that I've practiced in my own at home. And then when I'm on stage, I'll be combining them in different ways. And listening to the audience, listening to the space, observing the audience and using those observations to feedback in to say, well, it's not working, I need to change it. Or this is working really well, I need to carry on going and keep on this theme. So improvisation really is, it would be the key word of known ideas and concepts.
So you improvise with code?
Absolutely, yes, yes, yes.
That's fascinating.
Thank you very much, yes. And the thing is, that I really believe that I made something simple enough that everybody, if they practice enough, can improvise with the same system. It's really a tool for everybody, not just a tool for me.
Og når nu det handler om både computerprogrammer og musik, så skal vi have en lille demo, som Aaron han giver her.
Do you have to download the software, or does it
yes.
work in a browser?
No, so it's the software comes with a really very powerful synthesizer, which is not something the browser yet supports in the same level. And so you download it as an app, a free app for Windows, or a free app for Mac. Or if you have a Raspberry Pi, it's already installed by default. And you just need to go to the website sonic-pi.net, and there's links to download from there. And then you get this application. It's a bit like Microsoft Word, where you just write some words. But instead of a save button, you've got a run button to use to then turn your words into music. So if I, let's do play 70. That's the sound of the piece of code, play 70. So that's a full program, just two words to write. And by using a higher note, say 76, I have a higher note, and lower number like 50, I have a lower note. So you quickly can experiment with what you can hear, what you like, and so anyone can change numbers up and down. And
so these numbers are the equivalent of the keys on a keyboard?
Exactly. They're MIDI notes, technically, but they really just map onto the notes on a piano. But unlike notes on the piano, where you can play from one note to the next, in this system you can write notes which are halfway between. So like on a violin, you can slide your finger up and down. Here I can play note 70, 71, but I can also play 70.5, which is in between the two. So you really are not limited by the notes on the piano. You can make your own notes up if you want to. Yeah. And then you can change the sound of the notes. So what we're hearing now is the sine wave, which is the simplest possible sound that could be created. It's the purest mathematical form. But we can combine multiple sine waves to make new sounds. So let's change it with the use synth command. So I'm going to say use synth desaw, have a different sound, or profit, or TB303, or piano. The piano doesn't do notes in between notes, so yeah, it was going to one of the up or down. So yes, by changing the sound of the sound, we can change the instruments. We can change how it sounds as well.
And you can also import samples.
Absolutely, yep. So there's a bunch of those built in. You just use the sample commands, press space, and it shows you all the ones which are built in. But you can download or record your own. So let's listen to, say, Ambi Lunar Lands. It's spacey sounds. You can also change how fast they're played back. So I was just changing the rate to smaller values, and you can hear that it reduces the pitch, so it sounds lower, but also makes it longer. It's a bit like stretching a spring out. It takes longer for the sound to play back if you walk through the sample at a slower rate. So you're able to take existing sounds and really manipulate them in interesting ways.
And I noticed that you can also record it, or?
Yes, absolutely. So there's two ways of recording your compositions. The simplest one is to press the record button and then play your composition. It will take all the sounds that you can hear and record them to a file that you can then upload to SoundCloud or YouTube or to your MP3 player or something. But also the code is actually probably the best way to record it. Because if you take the code, it's kind of like take the composition, you can then email that code to a friend, they can paste it into their SonicPi and hear the same composition. And not only can they hear the composition, but they can see how you made it. And they can even make modifications to the code to change it. So it's kind of like, going back to the baking analogy, you can record your recipe, essentially, by baking the cake. And the cake you've made is something you can pass around to other people. Here's a chocolate cake. And so I can either give you a chocolate cake, or I could give you the recipe for the chocolate cake. And if you follow that recipe, you can make your own chocolate cake, as many as you want. But also, you can see how the chocolate cake was made, which is a useful thing. Whereas, if I just give you the cake, you can't see the recipe. You can't see exactly how much butter or how much flour or sugar I put in there. And also, if you have the recipe, you can change the recipe and modify the cake to something maybe that you want. Maybe it's too sweet. Maybe you add a bit less sugar. So with the recipe, you have a bit more control of making the cakes. And so here, you can both have the equivalent to the cake, you can record the music, but you can also share the code, which is the recipe for making the music. And I think that's actually a much more powerful way of sharing compositions. It's a bit like composers might share the dots and lines on the stave. You know, and that way, once we have those dots and lines, we can take music that was made hundreds of years ago and reproduce it. So we can take Bach and Beethoven and reproduce it because we have the dots and lines on the stave. Whereas most modern, say, synthesizer music, there is no score. And so to work out how that music was made, you need to know exactly which synthesizers were used and how the dials were dialed in. And you have to reverse engineer the composition. It's much harder. So I think code gives us a notation for the kinds of musics that we're hearing today, in addition to the music we heard hundreds of years ago too.
Man kan naturligvis også indspille den musik, man laver, og for eksempel udgive den på YouTube eller SoundCloud. Hvis man udgiver sin musik, så skal man selvfølgelig være opmærksom på ophavsret, fordi hvis man nu har hentet nogle filer ind eller nogle samples fra nogle populære sange fra ens computer og bruger det med den her komposition, man har lavet og lægger den ud på nettet, så kan man altså godt komme i uføre og få noget ballade med ophavsret, hvis man ikke lige tænker sig om.
Yeah, I mean, so what kind of music would you like to hear? Classical music, modern music, so
country and western.
No, so I don't have that. That's not
that's
my style.
That's a difficult one. I was just throwing
so
some,
I have a, if
something
you,
you
the
would
word,
play
example.
At a party.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of examples built in. So I'm going to say load example, re-raised. I was listening to some Daft Punk music, and I was thinking, how do I take some of those ideas? And so here's a piece of code which is 29 lines long, so it's very short. If I run this code. Now, when it's running, obviously I can stop and start like this, but whilst it's running, I can actually modify the code and change the sounds. So if I start it again, I'm going to now change some of the code and you can start to hear that music. Because if I don't change the code, it's going to play the same thing over and over again, on repeat, essentially. But if I change the code, I can get in and change the music as it's playing.
That's amazing, but you really have to know what you're doing because you're changing a lot of parameters while you're doing this.
Absolutely, and the same would be the case of a piano. You need to know what you're doing to know which notes of the piano to hit, or if you're playing a guitar, which strings to pluck, which fingers to hold down. Of course, with any music you're making, you need to understand the instrument you're playing, and code is no different from that as well. So I think that you can't get away from. If you want to make your own music, you need to know how to work with the instrument that you're using.
I noticed that on top of this, you have written "Coded by Sam Aaron." So, what about copyright with this kind of music?
I think this kind of music challenges notions of copyright in interesting new ways, because we're not just talking about music as the sounds we're making. We're talking about a notation that can actually represent the timbres as well. And I'd like to try and challenge this in many ways. I think that copyright actually stops and inhibits people from sharing ideas freely, and so. In my perspective, is this copyrightable in terms of literature, or is it copyrightable in terms of audio? I'm not really a lawyer, so I don't really know. But I'm very happy that what it's doing is it's making much more transparent the processes, and then obviously the law needs to somehow catch up with this in its own way, and obviously different countries will do that in different ways. But I'm much more interested in figuring out ways that people can share their ideas and learn from each other than I am trying to lock things down.
Jeg linker til Sam Aaron's software Sonic Pi fra tektopia.dk. Og hvis du er interesseret i at høre mere om computer og synthesizer og elektronisk musik, så vil jeg opfordre dig til at tjekke min søsterpodcast Tektopia Radio 4. I denne her uge der taler jeg med Morten Wagner, som er en hardware-nørd fra Force Technology, og som også laver elektronisk musik i sin fritid. Og med Kim Bjørn, som har skrevet 3 bøger, sådan nogle coffee table books med store flotte billeder og en masse interessante interviews, og en masse forklaringer, pædagogiske forklaringer af, hvordan synthesizer de virker, og hvad man kan gøre med dem. Og så også en enkelt bog om guitarpedaler, men det er jo så en anden historie. Firmaet Korg, som er et af de gamle synthesizer-firmaer, også fra Japan, som er kommet med et nyt produkt, hvor man tænker, skulle det nu være noget, tænker jeg, da jeg så videoen derovrefra.
Ja, det er igen en interessant eksempel på en trend, som er den her DIY-trend, eller det her med...
Så gør det selv.
Ja, at vi godt selv nogle gange... Nu er vi blevet så nørdede. En ting er, at vi synes, det er nogle fede instrumenter, det her, men nogle gange vil vi gerne samle dem selv. Nogle vil gerne sidde med loddekolbe og bruge 3 uger på at samle et modul, for eksempel, og bygge deres eget instrument fra bunden af. Det kan også være et spørgsmål om penge, for nogle af de her ting kan være dyre. Men igen, nogen sidder jo og laver andre ting. Altså, da jeg var ung, der ville jeg være elektronikmekaniker faktisk, og sad faktisk på et tidspunkt, der var i praktik et sted, hvor man loddede ting til de her navigationssystemer til skibe. Der kom maskinerne jo så ind og tænkte, eller så tænkte jeg, jeg skal finde på noget andet at lave. Her igen, så kan man jo få lidt af det kreative tilbage. Man kan selv sidde og samle de her ting, man knækker. Det er Korks produkt, der hedder Nutekst. Man brækker printpladerne fra hinanden. Jeg sad selv og gjorde det på et hotelværelse over i LA, da jeg kedede mig. Og så kunne jeg ved hjælp af en lille bitte skruetrækker hurtigt lige få samlet den her lille synthesizer, som har en fantastisk lyd og gode effekter og så videre, og så pakket igen ind i et meget lille format, kan køre på USB-strøm for eksempel. Og der har Korg altså lavet det her nye subbrand, kan man sige, Nutekst, hvor de også laver guitarpedaler for eksempel. Altså de brancher lidt ud der, kan man kalde det.
Og så bygger man dem simpelthen selv?
Ja, så samler man dem selv. Og for eksempel inden for guitarpedaler, det er jo en helt crazy verden, men der er folk, der bygger virkelig meget. Og det er jo, men det er jo rigtig mange forskellige slags teknologi. Det her med Korg er så et eksempel på sådan den mere moderne teknologi og DSP og så videre. Digital Signal Processing. Og det kan Morten igen sikkert snakke meget mere om. Men altså igen, jeg synes, eksemplet er, at et andet eksempel, altså det er det her med, at vi pakker mere og mere ned i mindre og mindre, på mindre og mindre plads.
Og det er jo en tendens, man kender fra andre teknologiområder også, ikke? Så det sker selvfølgelig også her.
Ja, så du kan jo have et helt hjemmestudie. For det første kan du have det på din computer, og du kan jo stort set også have det på din iPad eller din smartphone. Men selv i hardware også. Et eksempel er en guitarpedal, som et amerikansk firma, der hedder Impress, har lavet, der hedder en Sawyer. Den er en helt lille supercomputer i sig selv, og den er modular, kan man også sige. Der er nogle knapper, du kan forbinde nogle forskellige moduler, uden alle de her irriterende kabler, som vi ellers altid skal rode ned igennem, når vi nørder med vores synthesizer. Og det vil sige, selv for guitarister nu, kan de lave deres eget lille modular setup, hvor de siger, nu vil jeg have en grumklang, og nu vil jeg have lidt distortion på, og jeg vil jo godt lige have, at der kommer en lille lyd ind her, for eksempel. Og det kan de simpelthen så gemme i pedalen til nogle presets, de kan kalde frem, når de skal spille bestemt nummer, for eksempel.
Altså, jeg må blankt erkende, at jeg har siddet og kigget sulten på den på internettet og tænkt, 4.000 kroner om Morten Wagner. Det var også det, du sagde, man kan bruge mange penge på det her. Jeg kunne se, at du så også helt sulten ud, da Kim havde nævnt den. Jeg kunne godt tænke mig at spørge dig lidt om det der med hardware og så videre, men inden da, så skal vi have en jingle med, og du er klar med din telefon. Du har afsløret for mig, at du er ikke så vild med at spille på telefon. Du kan bedre lide andre maskiner, men nu har du noget med her. Hvad er det, du har med?
Jamen, du advarede lige i går aftes, og så tænkte jeg, altså det er faktisk ret lang tid siden, jeg har arbejdet med iPhone-apps og musik, og det sjove er faktisk, at jeg selv sammen med en god ven har haft et firma, hvor vi lavede iPhone-musik-apps tilbage i sin tid. Ja. Ambitionen var nemlig, at man kunne gøre det rigtig, rigtig nemt for folk at lave musik selv. Jeg synes, der er rigtig mange, vi ved altså, hvordan man griber en bold, og hvordan man spiller sammen med bolde, og vores idé var, at hvis man kan lave noget af det samme, simulere og benytte sig af nogle af de samme grundlæggende ting, som de mange mennesker kan, og bruge det til at lave musik, så kunne man lave et musik-app. Så vi lavede noget, der hedder Pinball DJ, hvor man, hvis I spillede flippermaskiner og sendte de der kugler rundt i sådan en flippermaskine, så lavede det noget, der minder om musik, når den her bold høvler ind i forskellige bander og en eller anden ting. Hvis man kunne lave sin egen bane og lave sin egen bander, og så lave musik ud på den måde. Og så det brugte vi rigtig, rigtig meget krudt på. Det blev faktisk en ret fed app. Udfordringen var, at der er der ikke så mange, der vil betale penge for.
Det lyder da super fedt.
Ja, men vi var også meget begejstrede for det. Hvad hedder det? Så måske tager vi den op igen en anden dag.
Men det er ikke den, du har.
Nej, så har jeg efterladt det lidt, ikke? Men så bliver jeg alligevel inspireret af dig til at kigge videre. Der er rigtig, rigtig mange fede apps derude. Og en af dem, som jeg kastede mig over og synes var rigtig morsom, det er en, der hedder Fugue Machine. Du nævnte den også selv, du kender den. Den er nok baseret lidt på, eller inspireret af noget af Bachs principper omkring fugaer, og hvordan man kan stille matematiske regler op som baggrund for at lave musik.
Så det er virkelig en bug puttet ind i en app?
Præcis, og ødelagt af mig, kan man sige. Ikke? Det er ikke. På sådan en iPhone her, der kan man rent faktisk, man kan kombinere alle mulige effekter og lydgiver og nodegiver. Man kan lave nogle vildt avancerede ting efterhånden. Det var faktisk lige ned i et stort sort hul af inspiration, du fik kastet mig der i går aftes.
Så du fik ikke så meget nattesøvn?
Nej.
Men må vi høre, hvad du har lavet?
Ja, men det er jo så ikke, det lyder ikke nødvendigvis særlig godt. Men jeg prøver, så jeg kan få lyd af noget. Jeg skal også skrue op. Her har vi de tre første toner. Og så begynder vi at sætte fugemaskinen i gang, skal I bare høre. Hvis man så har hang til lidt rytmik, så kan man tilføje det også rimelig nemt. Tror jeg.
Vi får se, om det kommer. Ja. Spiller du også med fingeren?
Det jeg så gør, det er, at jeg skruer op og ned for, forskellige elementer.
Så...
Ja, så alt det her. Og så det kan man blive ved med i timen.
Det var meget mere kunstnerisk, end det, jeg lige kom op med, men altså, jeg er også bare studieverden. Super! Fantastisk. Men det jeg virkelig vil spørge dig om, det var det, Kim Bjørn snakker om før, med de her sådan små kork-synthesizer, som man bygger selv.
Ja.
Og du er jo hardware-nørd, som vi slog fast i starten af udsendelsen. Hvorfor er det så fedt at sidde og bygge printplader og sådan noget, i stedet for bare gå ned og købe det i butikken og begynde at spille?
Man får et andet forhold til sit gear, når man bygger det selv. Og vi har jo verden har været igennem den her skønne maker-bevægelse for ikke så lang tid siden, hvor at det er blevet mere og mere, altså den her fremmedgørelse, der er ved at pakke noget ud i plastik, og så gå i gang med at bruge det, indtil man ikke gider det mere, og bare smide det væk. Den er der jo mange, der er træt af, heldigvis. Man vil godt have en mere indgående kendskab til det, hvad det er, man bruger og omgiver sig med i sin dagligdag. Og det er vel noget af det, der, altså det sammenholdt med, at vi får flere og flere digitale redskaber, der kan hjælpe os med at bygge ting, altså laserskærer, 3D-printer og digital fabrikation i al almindelighed, gør det nemmere og nemmere for almindelige mennesker at lave elektronik, som ellers har været en lille subkulturs forbehold. Så det her med, altså for modularer, folk tror jeg, at der er rigtig mange, der, som Kim også nævnte, det kan være økonomisk ting, der gør, at man bygger sine ting selv. Men jeg tror for rigtig mange, at det er lige så meget for at selv at have bygget sine ting. Ikke? Forestil dig, at man var violinist og selv kunne altså bygge sin violin eller sin guitar. Det giver et helt specielt forhold til sine ting. Så det tror jeg, tæller rigtig meget med.
Ja, det kan du altså høre i Techtopia Radio 4. Elektronisk lydsuppe på menuen. Den her uge har jeg også modtaget et podkort fra Ingeniørens podcast Transformator.
5 musikere nedsænket i akvarier, hvor de spiller på hydraulofon, rotacorda og krystallofon. Sære instrumenter. Og sangeren dykker ned med luftfyldte lunger og munden fyldt med vand. En tone kan så kun blive lige akkurat så lang, som det tager at fylde munden med luft, uden at der kommer bobler ud af munden. Og efter flere års træning kan sangeren også lave lyde ved at trække luften fra munden tilbage i lungerne igen. Hør om det succesrige danske undervandsorkester Between Music i denne uges Transformator, hvor vi også lige skal vende debatten om brændeovne. Den blev vi heller aldrig træt af at lytte til.
Det var, hvad der var i Techtopia i den her uge. Du kan altid finde mere på techtopia.dk. Du kan skrive til mig på henrik@techtopia.dk. Du kan følge os på Twitter på @techtopia.dk. Og så kan du deltage i diskussionen om teknologi i vores Facebook-gruppe, der hedder Techtopia Backstage. Og så vil jeg ellers ønske dig held og lykke med at sidde derhjemme og nørde med selv at lave musik. Du kunne jo også bare måske gå rundt og fløjte lidt eller klappe en rytme. Det er også meget hyggeligt. Men jeg synes nu, du skulle prøve at suse en tur forbi Sonic Pie og se, om du ikke kan lave et eller andet, der bare minder om musik. På genhør i næste uge. Techtopia er en podcast om mennesker og deres teknologi. Den er udgivet af Ingeniørforeningen IDA i samarbejde med Teknologiens Mediehus, HI-messen, Index Award, Innovation Center Danmark og IDA Forsikring. Mit navn er Henrik Føns, og det er mig, der bestemmer i Techtopia. Techtopia.